Fires up. Fires it. Scores. Calls it.
Play by Callie O'Hanson and hold it right here.
Sensational.
That's a jock strap.
The Great 8 Express pulls into third place.
After much speculation about when it was going to begin, what it was going to be called, it's time for the Joe Benintani, Craig Lachlan podcast. Told It Here, presented by PenFed. PenFed has great rates for everyone. Locker, Told It Here. I know it's a little play on words, words that you are very familiar with.
That's a tongue twister. Used to saying Hold It Here during my telestrations, but I love it. Told It Here is going to be a lot of fun. You and I are going to have some great stories over the six different episodes. We must have made it, Joe B. We've got a podcast.
As a play-by-play and color analyst for so long together, it's usually descriptions about the game. What's happening on the ice? What's going on in the stands? What are the coaches saying leading up to the game? Well, we have stories to tell that are both from the ice and from behind the scenes. And I know that can be dangerous with respect to you, but it should be a whole lot of fun.
Behind the scenes and on the road is my specialty. You know I've got some great stories about you and I, the team, a lot of our colleagues. We're going to really open it up a little bit. This is an area that's not been heard before, and that's what I want to bring to Told It Here.
It's been said many of time on the air on NBC Sports Washington that we are very, very lucky, very fortunate to have been play-by-play in color for a Washington Capitals team that's been led by Alex Ovechkin for so long. For 17 seasons, we have been flat-out spoiled. So episode one of Told It Here should be devoted to the Great 8.
And it's going to be. I mean, I've been the luckiest person. We're both hockey guys. We get to see the greatest goal scorer maybe ever in the National Hockey League and his run to pass Gordie Howe, his run to pass Wayne Gretzky. And I now am a believer that that's going to happen. And it's been a fabulous career, a Hall of Fame career. And we're going to have a chance to visit with him and tell some cool stories about the Great 8.
An amazing athlete whose story is there to be documented and celebrated. Our conversation about Alex Ovechkin begins soon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Craig Lachlan, I think it behooves us to start a discussion about Alex Ovechkin by talking about the time before the Caps were lucky enough to draft him number one overall in 2004. And obviously, first thoughts go to a Stanley Cup final in 1998, where the Caps are turning DC hockey mad. They played incredibly well to get to Detroit. Then they were run over by the Red Wings. The year 2000 comes to mind where Ole Kolzig is a Vezina Trophy winner. And then really the time that leads up to Ovechkin, some lean years in 01, 02, and 02, 03. And those teams were led by a guy named Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, and the Jaromir Jagr plan just didn't work out. I mean, you had a young coach, you had a veteran player. He had done so much with Pittsburgh, with Lemieux, and the rest of the cast of characters that he had there. And he really didn't deliver. And I recently read an article that he was upset that he couldn't do more for Washington. So that was an era that we remember well because the Caps did get a superstar. They wanted to build around Jaromir Jagr, and it just didn't work out. And going back to your first statement, I really want to touch on that first Stanley Cup run against Detroit. And it still bothers me to this day that Esa-Tikkanen didn't score in Detroit. I think it could have turned out differently.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it really bothers you that I was working the WNBA with the Washington Mystics at the
time. You were doing a jump around when I called you every day, and you were the Mystics guy. And I was hanging out in Detroit, and I saw that shot firsthand. And you know in Detroit at the old Joe, you sit about just about at the goal line come playoff time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? And you can see Scotty Bowman. You can see the Red Wings. They were loaded. I thought the Caps had a chance had Esa-Tikkanen scored the goal. If he scores and puts the puck in the net, I think it would have been 1-1. Heading back to Washington, there probably would have been a better chance for success.
We're doing a show about Alex Ovechkin, right? We're doing a podcast, Told It Here, about Alex Ovechkin. And at the time, Ole Kolzig was really, I think, one of the faces, if not the face, of the franchise, and how good he was in that 1998 run. It's interesting because when we start hearing the name Alex Ovechkin, it's unfortunate for the Washington franchise that they were winning maybe mid-20s at the time.
Right.
01, 02, 02, 03. So they fell into a situation where they could actually win the lottery. And they won the lottery and the right to draft number one. And would it be Malkin? Would it be Ovechkin? Craig, I remember seeing Alex Ovechkin in the World Juniors in 2005 in North Dakota, and I was blown away. And I've heard you tell me you weren't sure what kind of impact Ovechkin would have. But I saw him in a World Junior tournament in North Dakota. He was sizzling on the ice. And I had the feeling that he could be something special.
Well, you never know about first overall picks. Are they going to be the guy that leads you to the promised land? Are they going to be what they have been touted to be? And yes, indeed, he was dynamic in that series against young players. What was he going to do at the NHL level? And that intrigued me. Was he going to be that guy that we've always wanted to see here in Washington, a superstar born and bred here in Washington, getting ready to start his career here? And to me, I was thinking, okay, we've seen a lot of great Russian players. We've never seen a player, a prototypical power forward, be a Russian player. You know, it was the Fedorovs, it was the Burry, it was all these guys that could skate like the wind and could move the puck and were fancy Dans. And then in comes Alex Ovechkin. And it reminds me a lot, and this is what it reminds me of back in the day, when the Capitals had the chance to pick in the first round, they picked Scott Stevens, right? And his nickname for us was Bam Bam, because this guy walks in, shirtless first training camp with me in Hershey, and he is Adonis. And he is huge for a young player. And we were all like, whoa, he's going to have the impact. That same thing hit me when we first had a chance to meet the grade eight. Just the imposing power. And for a 20-year-old in his first year to have the confidence, to have the savvy, to do what he did that first year was so impressive, and it's just built as we know to this day.
He was so excitable then. He still is now. That's what we love about him, is his tremendous love for the game. But I remember him being drafted in Raleigh. I remember draft parties where he would first meet the Capitals fans. Standing next to a young Alex Ovechkin at that time, you could almost feel the heart beating out of his chest.
Oh, God.
How excited he was to be in town. How much he wanted to just go on the ice and skate. He couldn't skate at the rink at the time. There was a subfloor down. I'm like, Alex, you can't go out there right now.
I remember that.
Oh, I want to go. I want to go. Can I go please skate? You know, the first impressions were some that will never leave your mind. Not only of him off the ice, but what he did in that rookie of the year season that he performed in 2005 and 6. It was incredible to watch his opening night. And remember now, at that time, you're coming back out of a lockout. And you're hearing about superstar young players named Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby and how they were going to hopefully, resurrect is the wrong word, but inspire and breathe life back into an NHL after a full season away. His first month, his first game, he took your eyes.
Well, that first shift, I mean, give me a break. A young player steps in, he's huge, and he hits a guy 40 seconds into the game and knocks the stanchions out. That shows exactly what Alex Ovechkin was all about.
Dynas Zubris spins. Ovechkin fires, he scores! Alexander Ovechkin, welcome on board!
Alex and his teammates had to wait till, what, 2008 before they appeared in a Stanley Cup playoff tournament, and probably relied upon a change behind the bench to spark what turned out to be the eventual Rock the Red era. Bruce Boudreaux takes over for Glenn Hanlon, and maybe Bruce's first move was to unleash Nicklas Backstrom. But all in all, it was all in the process of building around this amazing centerpiece that wore number 8, who is eventually going to be MVP worthy and goal scoring champion worthy. But you had to put the right elements around him and build up to it in that great, incredible run that we remember down the stretch in 2008.
Yeah, I think all the tweaks that Boudreau made really allowed the players to be themselves. They were sort of freed. They were free to show their stuff and to strut their stuff, I thought, once Gabby took over. He's a big believer in defense, but maybe not as staunch as a lot of coaches. He wants to play in the offensive zone. That played into the hands of OV, his rookie year in particular, and then it continued through, and then all of a sudden Gabby takes over, and now all of a sudden he's creating more. You have Nick Backstrom dishing the puck, becoming the elite passer that he was. And to me, that was a critical juncture for the Caps to take the next step. I'm not sure it would have happened. Nothing against Glenn Hanlon, but the change in coaching philosophy and theory of the game of hockey and how it was to be played. And we know, we talk to Gabby all the time. He's an old school guy. He just went back to old school basics, and it worked wonderfully for the development of the Caps' big guns.
2008 Stanley Cup playoffs, disappointment in a playoff series in overtime against Philadelphia. 2009, amazing playoff series with the Pittsburgh Penguins, where the two young superstars duel against each other. 2010, a President's Trophy winning team, a team that forgot to beat Montreal in the seventh game. There were highs for Alex Ovechkin. There were tremendous moments for him and his mates to celebrate, but they also had to learn how to walk before they could run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You have to go through those disappointments, don't you?
Well, there's the adage, you've got to learn how to lose before you can learn how to win, and that was just the marching orders the Capitals were given, unfortunately. I thought that run against Montreal was fantastic. The Capitals played some wonderful hockey, other than Juro Halak playing out of his mind. If he doesn't stop 50-some shots, the Caps move on, and we could have been talking about them heading to the final that year. They were that good and playing that well. Juro Halak prevented that. But to me, it's all about development, and it's all about taking baby steps to reach the ultimate goal, and that's been the Caps in a nutshell. And they've done that with number eight being a big piece of the puzzle.
So consistently in the playoffs, you know, as we're discussing this Untold It here, they've been in the playoffs seven straight times, 13 of the last 14 seasons. There was a buildup. There was a run-up to the 2018 championship year. And here's where I sound greedy.
Okay.
Because to me, the 2016 team and 2017 team, mm-hmm, that were led by Alex Ovechkin, those squads, President's Trophy winning teams, both of them, they were both better than the 2018 team that won the Stanley Cup, in my mind. And I know that I'll get into heated arguments about it, but you had tremendous opportunities to be a, quote, dynasty in 16, 17, 18,
yeah,
even in 19, when you were upset by Carolina in a double overtime game at home. That was after you had won a title. But Locker, how good were the playoff series between Washington and Pittsburgh? Those two organizations have a tremendous rivalry that's now exploded at that time where they were playing every year.
Yep.
And it just seemed like whoever won that series was going to get a ring on their finger.
Yeah, I like your point about those 4 years. I would agree with you there. I think I want to be selfish and say, we should have won two cups, yeah, during that four-year run. That would have been suffice. But they did eventually win what they had to do. And the rivalry has blossomed. I think the rivalry, even back in the day when I played here, and, you know, it was a Washington Redskin Commanders time for when they were winning Super Bowls. There was also always something special in the air when Pittsburgh played Washington in football. And to me, it's now been transcended by the Caps playing the Penguins. Obviously, it's Crosby versus Ovechkin. But more importantly, it's city against city. And that's the rivalry. It's not individual players. They can create it. But the war, I call it war. I call it hatred that not only a lot of us here and a lot of fans out there don't like one another. And to me, that makes for great, great history, great games, heavy games, hard games. There's never been a bad game played between the Penguins and the Caps, other than when I played, when we used to run them out of the building until number 66 arrived, and then we couldn't win for any opportunity against that franchise.
All right, so this is episode one, and it's about Alex Ovechkin, yep. And you and I have had front row seats to this fantastic show ever since he arrives in 2005 and 6. That means we've seen him behind the scenes in glorious moments and in moments of despair when the team is beaten and those frustrations boil over. I think for a lot of people, I think Alex Ovechkin was misunderstood for a long time as this wannabe rock star, give me the spotlight. It's all about me winning MVPs and Rocket Richard trophies. Folks, you have no idea, if you hadn't been able to see, as Craig and I did, what Ovechkin's response was to losing in the playoffs. We were in the planes with him. We were on the buses with him. We were in the hotels and riding up and down in elevators with him. And we saw him at the lowest of the low. And he was not someone who was just all about himself. He was a team player at that time, crushed by not getting it done, which is why we loved 2018 so much. So let's take it from round one with Columbus, where Ovechkin and the Caps have to rally to do just to get out of the opening round.
Correct.
When it looked dire after losing a couple of overtime.
Looked horrible.
Right off the start. What happened?
Well, it's that game three. The Caps, I always say, things have to be aligned to win the Stanley Cup. You have to have some luck. You have to have things aligned. And to me, the biggest turning point, and I'll say it till I'm in my grave, is Lars Eller's goal. That was the turning point for the franchise. You look back over the years, whether it be me playing in the 80s, when we thought we were Stanley Cup worthy, and we lost all the time to the New York Islanders, whether it be the Easter Classic, Easter Epic, with LaFontaine scoring on a spinorama that hit about three things and beats Bobby Mason, who has a broken blade in net, playing goal. Come on, you can't have this run of bad luck. And to me, that goal off of Eller's leg, off the post and into the net against the Columbus netminder vindicated the Caps and put them in the series, and they never looked back. That, to me, will forever be ingrained in my mind. Lars Eller turned around the fortune. They got luck back in their game, and you need luck to win the Stanley Cup.
You and I and all the hardworking men and women in the crew at NBC Sports Washington had the chance to call that first round series in 2018. And then the difficult part happens. We wave bye-bye to them and send them off to our national partners, all the while doing pre- and post-game shows and traveling around from city to city, whether it be to Pittsburgh or to Tampa or ultimately to Vegas. But for us at that time, knowing what you knew about 16 and 17 ending at the hands of the Penguins, that's what made the round two victory over Pittsburgh so much more special. And you could appreciate it that more and feel it for the players, for them to finally get past the hated Penguins who've tormented them for so long.
And wasn't it great, apropos you could say, that it was Ovi on a back check, firing the puck, turning up ice, and finding Kuznetsov. And we had a hard time. I mean, I'm sitting in the studio watching that, and I'm saying, did it get under the pad? Did it finally go over the goal line? We were waiting. And then all of a sudden, the celebration of Kuznetsov and the Capitals and Capitals Nation exploded. That was spectacular that it happened at the hands of, most importantly, Alex Ovechkin on a back check. That, by the way, throughout his career, he was ripped on not back-checking hard enough. Oh, look at this play. He was lollygagging back. He was doing this. He's under the microscope, fans. Mm-hmm. He's always been. He stepped out of line once, and all of a sudden, then everybody's all over him for that. And to me, that vindicated Alex Ovechkin as a player, as a captain, just that one little play, because then people realized this guy wants to win. And he wants to lead his team to victory, and he wants to do the things that we've seen him over his illustrious career.
He scored big goals, Alex Ovechkin did, in that series against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Clutch goals, timely goals. He did the very same against Tampa in round three, where the Capitals become the Eastern Conference champions. And Locker, I don't want to fast forward over the first five games of that series, but game six and seven against the Bolts were the two that stand out to me, in large part, Braden Holtby, fabulous throwing shutouts.
Yes.
But in Game 6 at Capital One Arena, I don't know that I've ever seen a more physical group of Washington Capitals. That was football on skates. Number 8 was running around like a middle linebacker, hell-bent on delivering punishment. It was an incredible game, and the roars of the crowd that night always stand out to me.
And you know what? Over the years, we've seen some great captains around the NHL, and that's generally what they do. They ignite their team, they lead by example, and they end up leading their team. And to me, that was a perfect sign of being a leader, saying, this isn't going to happen tonight, Tampa Bay. Sorry to say, but we're going to come out, smack you around, have a big-time smackdown, and win this series and win this game. And that was Alex, and he led it. Did others follow? Absolutely. Big T, Tom Wilson, you can name the guys that continued along, but they were all fed that energy and that gregarious type of attitude that Ovi has, that we are going to win this hockey game. But he set the tone, and he was not going to be denied in that series.
Such a physical performance from Ovechkin, from Wilson,
yeah,
from Smith-Pelly, from Orpik. They get the job done against the Bolts. They advance to see the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final of 2018. It's a misstep in Game 1, but after that, it all turned out to be very, very rosy for the Washington Capitals.
And it was the second game that, to me, set the series up for the Caps. And they had a disappointing Game 1. Game 2, I thought they played some of their best hockey. Vegas did not have an answer, but Vegas was also thinking at the time, you know, we've already got our one win. That's sort of sometimes the philosophy. It sneaks into your mind. We're on the road. We just got to win. This is cool. We're going to go back. And we still have a chance to go up 3-1 when we get home, because no one beats us in the fortress. And all of a sudden, here come the Caps. To me, that was Game 2 was absolutely out of this world.
Washington prevailed in the Stanley Cup. We all have embedded in our minds, ingrained the last few moments of celebration on the bench as we're watching Nicklas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin and all of the Caps team poised to celebrate this final moment of getting over the hurdle, clearing the hill, finally, after all the disappointments, the joys, the heavy beards that you would build up over a two-month Stanley Cup run. Describe your joy for the team when that final buzzer rings out.
Well, I was sitting in D.C., and it was red, the red rush, you could say. Everything was red. The building was packed. It was like the game was being played in Washington, and it was in Vegas, and the streets were packed, and everything was, the policemen were wearing buttons with Caps logos on them. The fans were all dressed in their red garb, and it definitely was, takes me back to one of the greatest events ever. But at the time, I mean, there's nothing more than a former player being able to see our franchise finally won its first National Hockey League Cup, Stanley Cup.
The celebration with the cup, Backstrom and Ovechkin holding the cup together, never fails to bring a tear to our eyes. It is a wondrous moment for all of Caps Nation. Told It Here is going to continue with a conversation with the Capital captain in just a moment.
James Gank with PenFed Credit Union. We serve about 400,000 members here. And during my 21 years here, CEO for the last 8, and we always turn to Joe and Craig to listen to the latest, because the Caps are one of the things we're all proud of and that can bring us all together. I'm always very sensitive to who we put our brand next to as the national leading credit union. Joe and Craig are the premier brand, and we've been proud to partner with them, and their leadership for the last 25 years has been truly instrumental. PenFed is so proud that we built the brand around great rates for everyone, and truly anybody in America is eligible. And again, PenFed coupled with NBC Sports Washington, the partnership that gets no better. Joe, Craig, as the CEO of PenFed, what I can say to you is you have changed this community for the better. Keep doing what we're doing. And I know you probably won't give us another 25, but if you give us 24 and a half more great years together, we'd all be better off.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ovechkin scores! The Great 8 Express pulls into third place all time. Only Mr. Hockey and the Great One are left to chase. 7-6-7. 483 even goals, 279 power plays, and 5 short-handed goals for our captain, Alex Ovechkin.
I don't think Capitals fans would mind that the first guest ever on the Told It Here podcast is the Great 8, Alex Ovechkin. So kind of you to join us, Alex. You're rocking the red and you're looking good.
Yeah, thanks. I'm here with my crew, Sergey with a mic, Zach with a camera, so we're all good.
Whoa, you're getting me dizzy.
Ovi, you've played 1,269 games, but I want to get your memory to go back to October 5th, 2005, your first game. Less than a minute in, you run over a guy, you get a couple of goals. What was the feeling for you that first ever game you played?
Obviously, it was like yesterday, to be honest with you, because I remember basically every moment, morning skate. My family was in town, my mom, my dad, my brother. I'm good. Obviously I was excited. I was nervous, you know, but as soon as you step on the ice, you know, you kind of forget this nervousness and forget about everything and just want to play hockey. And you're right, my first shift was kind of pretty cool. Maybe because it was a lockout, they forget to put some extra stuff in the boards. But it was pretty fun, pretty cool moment. You know, you're right. I scored 2 goals and we won the game, and it was kind of a happy moment for me and for my family and for everybody.
So deservedly, you allowed me to call you Freak Show then. And you honor me when you respond and call me freaky as well. I enjoy that about that. Locker's going to ask you about your love of cars pretty soon, but I'm hoping you remember one car story with me from your rookie year. Do you remember your BMW M6? Do you remember driving out of the lot at the arena and seeing me in the same car and being all pissed off? Do you remember that?
Yeah, and you still have a BMW. I'm kind of growing up, and I have a Mercedes, so.
You've grown up. You've definitely grown up.
Yeah, M6 was one of my favorite car. I remember, like, I have it, I sent it to Moscow, and I'm enjoying it, and obviously, you know, I didn't spend lots of time in Moscow, so I have to sell it.
What started your love of car, Ovi, and do you have a car collection you can let us into, or ideas? Do you have a lot of cars?
Not really. I used to have lots of cars, but right now I'm kind of a Mercedes guy. I love G-Wagon. What I have, I bought it in 2014, and I still have it, black one. In Moscow, I have a G-Wagon as well. I'm kind of a Mercedes guy.
You and I tend to head for the rink at the same time, so I've seen that G-Wagon end on the drive-in to D.C., to Capital One. Ovi, before the team was winning championships, before you were winning major awards, it was a team that was only winning in the mid-20s in terms of victories per season. Those were tougher times. What do you remember about growing up during those days?
Obviously, I was lucky enough to be kind of like the guy who start rebuilding mode, you know. Becky, Greeny, Salmon, Steve Eminger, you know, all those guys who start rebuild a kind of position. You know, it was tough years, but it was the fun years as well. And soon when they sign old players, experienced players, you learn a lot from them, and you know, it kind of give you motivation that you know, rebuild is over and it's time to us to grow up and think about the championship. Sometimes it was hard. Sometimes it was just a moment when you're like, Jesus, what's happened? Why we can't win the why we can pass the second round and pass the first round? But thanks God, it was ending, and we have that experience of winning the championship and the taste of the cup.
Now, Ovi, you wear a big letter on your jersey. What was it like being named captain number one? And who told you that you were going to be captain of this Caps team?
It was Bruce and George. They called me in Bruce's office and they said, you're going to be captain. Obviously, my most important thing, I have support from all my teammates back then. We have a meeting in the theater and said we have a new captain, Alex Ovechkin, and everybody was cheering. Everybody was, you know, loudly welcoming me, and you know, it was kind of a special moment for me. Obviously, I didn't have that experience. You know, I was young. I was kind of situation when I need help, and how I said, when you have experienced guys, you have older guys than you, they'll help you, they teach you, and you learn a lot from them. So how I said, Jeff Halpern was a captain, Chris Clark was captain, and then me, you know, and I have a very good relationship with all the experienced guys, all the leaders, and they helped me grow as who I am right now.
Was there any Ovi speech that day?
I don't remember what I said, but I was pretty nervous. I was pretty happy, but it was a special moment.
Alex, you referenced the guys that you were growing up with at the time, the friendships that you made, the relationships that you were having. It's nice to be on a poster with people and be referenced as the young guns. Describe those friendships that you made with the likes of Backstrom and Green and Semin.
Yeah, obviously, all of us have a very good relationship. Beck is still playing with me. I have a very good relationship with Semin. We talked yesterday after the game. he follow us, obviously. He was my closest friend in Washington when he was here with Greeny. Yeah, it was young, how you said, young guns, but it was special for all of us to growing up together, became the leaders, became the very good hockey players together.
We want to just ask just about pivotal moment during that cup run in 18. We always say, and we always go back and forth, what we think the pivotal moment was throughout that Stanley Cup run. What was the pivotal moment for you guys to know that, hey, we're going to win this thing?
It's hard to say because it was a special. I think when you're down 2-0, and you see, like, you didn't play bad, you just have bad luck. You just kind of want to turn around the page and move on. I think when we when Eller scored the third game overtime, it kind of gave us a brief, and we start believing in each other. And I think this is always one of the key moments for us.
Alex, it's always great to catch up with you. We appreciate your time and wish you all the very best, my friend.
Yeah, see you guys. Congrats, and see you soon.
Alex Ovechkin has heard all the accolades, and they are all deserving, as to the greatest goal scorer of his generation. And I think, Locker, that you and I are both of the same mind, that he is fabulous in that regard, and he has treated us to so many major milestones. It's funny. It's like every day on the calendar is just another major milestone for him. When he got to 500 goals against Ottawa at Capital One Arena, I remember the crowd reaction that night being extremely special. And it was as if 18,000 plus could wrap their arms around the captain and show him the love that he deserves.
I think so. I think that of all the milestones, that was the most spectacular in my mind.
Ovechkin rips. He scores! In a flash! Welcome to the club, number 500 for the Grade 8s.
Doing it on home ice, putting that puck in the net, past the netminder in Ottawa, was something special. I look at that, and to me, that was just him. I'm not going to say arriving, because 500 goals, we've had that before here in Washington happen, but never by a guy like Alex Ovechkin. I mean, it's spectacular. I can't put it into words. Hitting 500 goals, I see players that haven't hit 500 games, and they were very good players. Mm-hmm. And now there's this guy that hits 500 goals. And it's not only the people in the building, the 18,000 plus. I'm sure it was at everybody's television watching that game that they erupted in their living room. They adore this guy. And I can't believe the joy that everyone showed that game. We were lucky enough to carry it. And that's one memory I will always have, is goal number 500.
His celebrations, he's gained a lot of notoriety for the way he celebrates goals. But from really the very first time we ever met him, we ever saw him, he celebrates his teammates' goals with just as much fervor, with just as much enthusiasm. All that glass jumping that he did early in his career, I think he would do it for a goal for Backstrom or for Wilson just the same. To me, his celebrations for 500, 600, and 700, they were far from subdued by any matter.
Right.
But they were the kind of goals, especially the 600th goal against Winnipeg, was a hard-working, rebound, stay-with-it type of play. Yeah. Alex Ovechkin is not a one-trick pony. A lot of people just think every goal has come from that left circle on a one-timer. Goal number 600 proved that.
And I think he's proved that he can be more than a one-trick pony. You know, we always think of him. We always think of the blast from the office. We think of all the goals he scored on the power play. We think of all of this and that. But he's really developed as an all-around goal scorer. And, you know, you have to have puck luck, yes. You have to be in the right position. He's learned how to move his body and his stick around to be in better position to feel the puck and to shoot the puck. He's the best shooter ever in the National Hockey League, shooting a rolling puck or a puck that's not lying flat on the ice. He's found ways to score. He's changed his game. Early on in his career, he'd be that guy that would come down the wing and take the big slapper or the big wrister and blow past the goalie. Well, all of a sudden, goalies get better, players get faster, teams learn how to defend better. So he's had to work on his game. And to me, that's what's most impressive to me. The one time, you know, I've talked to him many a time, but the one time I really think back of, I was walking home from Philadelphia, and we were at lunch, you and I ran into Ovi. And I said, man, Joe B and I are dead tired. This is a road trip. I said, you guys went to practice? He said to me, he says, I will never miss practice. I love to be on the ice. And that just secured it for me. I mean, talk about a superstar. He says, yep, I love being on the ice. I love to practice. I love getting better. And that's him in a nutshell.
We talk about him being one of the greatest shooters.
Yes.
And you and Alan May, Brent Johnson, all of our analysts on NBC Sports Washington, you'll talk about the flex and the torque in his stick. And on goal 700 in New Jersey, you could really do that and see it with your own eyes. What makes him the shooter that he is?
I think it's his bottom hand, the way he really torques that stick, and he's able to get it off in a hurry. It's the way, you know, when I was in Montreal, I was taught by Guy Lafleur how to shoot a puck. I don't know if you've ever heard this story.
I've heard the guy.
But I don't know if you've ever heard the story. He always said, Craig, look.
Did he do it with a cigarette in his mouth?
Now you're making me laugh. I gotta start that over again. So, no, when I learned from Guy Lafleur, I learned that you always hit behind the puck. And back then when we used wooden stick, you wouldn't get that torque. So it's changed a little bit. Does he still hit a little bit behind the puck? Absolutely. So that turns the stick. The bottom hand pushes hard, and it's his strength of his arms, that force down. To me, it reminds me, and I'm really going back far, is Bobby Hull. And Bobby Hull was one of the first to use the big curved stick. To me, he had that same, they used to call him Popeye because he had those Popeye arms. And I think that's similar with Ovi. He just hammers the puck. He wants to get it away in a hurry. And all great scores, the volumes of shots lead to goals. There's never a bad shot. And he averages close to 5 in his career per game. And that's an elite stat in its own right, not the fact that 20% of them are going into the net. That's impressive.
So once we crossed 700, it was just an assault on the record books in any way, shape, and form. And now you're starting to put him in amongst the greatest players to have ever played the game, in the top 10 goal scorers of all time, and to see him pass by and set power play goal all-time records, but to pass by the likes of a Mario Lemieux, Steve Yzerman, a Marcel Dion, a Brett Hull. In sequence, we have seen great after great after great fall, and now we're at the point where we're approaching 800, and you only have two guys left to catch, and their nicknames are Mr. Hockey and the Great One.
And that says it right there. I mean, we've got the Great Eight, the Great One, and Mr. Hockey. And Alex Ovechkin is in an echelon that, to be perfectly honest with you, October 5th, 2005, I wouldn't think that he would have been at this point. Remember, when he came to the NHL his first year, the year before in the KHL, when I was looking at stats back in the day, he had 13 goals in close to 40 games in the KHL. And the KHL is a step below the NHL. So I'm thinking, okay, 30 goals are going to be a great year. Ovi gets 52 and over 100 points his rookie year. Now I'm thinking, can he keep doing this? And when you just see his attitude, his confidence, his shot that we just talked about. To me now, being in that stratosphere with three of the greatest, he will now become one of the top three greatest players ever to play. And in the NHL over the years, over the 100 plus years it's been in business, there's been over 7,000 players lace them up in the National Hockey League. It's an incredible achievement just where he is today.
What he's accomplished is amazing. What he is still left to accomplish is going to amaze us for many, many more seasons to come. I just have a reflection in mind as to how many young boys and girls are playing the sport in the area, in Maryland, in Virginia, in D.C., because of what they saw Alex do as a puppy in this business. And they took to the sport because of what the Great Eight was doing. And they went to mom and dad and said, you know what? Maybe basketball's not for me. I'd like to try and play some hockey. Locker, you are still connected to youth hockey programs in the area. You still counsel and help develop players on the rise. How much of an impact has Alex had upon this community?
I don't think there's a player in any sport, to be perfectly honest with you, that's had the impact in a particular sport than Alex Ovechkin. I really don't. I don't think there's been someone that stepped into the limelight, been the first pick, delivered to the Caps fans what they wanted, which was the Stanley Cup. And now he transcends all that because it's not for everything he does on the ice. We all know about that. It's his attitude. It's his style. It's how he talks to the press. It's how he talks on Twitter or wherever he is that people, he's infectious. He's an infectious character. And to me, the fact that he's a world-class player, along with his everything else that he brings to the table, there's no one like it in any sport, I'm telling you right now, that has put a city on the map in the sporting world like Alex Ovechkin. And I see it every day. There's no more. There's number eights everywhere in all jerseys. Every rink I go to, they all want to be the Capitals captain.
such an appreciation for Monumental Sports and Entertainment Foundation, for all of us connected to NBC Sports Washington. If you ask Ted Leonsis about the Grade 8, you will hear the sense of appreciation he has had for what Ovechkin has done for this community, for this franchise, for the organization, and obviously for us, a very, very fitting subject for the first episode of Told It Here, presented by PenFed. PenFed, of course, has great rates for everyone. Our next show, Lock Air, we get to talk about you and me. It's the way we began as a broadcast team 25 seasons ago and how it's transpired ever since.
And let's make that 80-20, okay? 80-20 is a percentage I like when I work with you, okay? Lead me and I will take it, buddy. But it's been a fantastic 25 years. We've got our own wine, you know that?
Yeah, I can see it, actually.
We've got our own wine. We have our jersey that was given to us from the Washington Capitals. It's just been a great ride. It feels like 2.5 years, not 25 years, working with you, buddy.
Thanks very much for listening. We are on our way to episode 2. Be sure to follow Told It Here for future episodes wherever you get your podcasts, or head to NBCSportsWashington.com, our YouTube channel, and NBC4's OTT. That's over the top channels for the video version of the podcast. Episodes 1 and 2 are available right now.